Good morning. The coordinated attacks, presumably by Taliban insurgents that peaked yesterday in that country, are continuing in Pakistan this morning. A suicide attacker detonated a car bomb at a mosque next to a police station in the northwest city of Peshawar. 7 people dead in that attack. The attacks over the past 2 weeks have killed more than 150 people across the country. They appear aimed at forcing the government to abandon a planned offensive into the militant stronghold along the Afghan border, or at the very least, to make people in Pakistan feel very insecure about the future. Issam Ahmed, a reporter for the Christian Science Monitor in Islamabad, Pakistan, joins us now. Issam, what do you make of this attack this morning? Peshawar was sort of the one region that had sort of escaped the violence over the last 2 weeks. Now they're in it just like the rest of the country.
I think they'd had an attack yesterday. There was an attack which occurred in Peshawar, where one child died in another suicide attack, and they were hit on the 9th of October when a convoy was hit. So Peshawar has been very much at the forefront of these attacks at the same time. So what we're experiencing here, as you correctly said, is a huge wave of violence since 11 days, over 110 people have died. And all the Pakistani major cities right now are very much in a heightened state of security. In Islamabad, for example, there's been a ban on riding pillion on motorcycles and bicycles. And in Lahore, there's a lot of security check posts for every car. And so, I mean, there's very much an atmosphere of fear now. The country is descending effectively into what may be a very long, sustained guerrilla war.
Well, indeed, Issam Ahmed, a reporter for the Christian Science Monitor in Islamabad, the Taliban has been able to project its ability to carry out attacks virtually anywhere in the country. And I would think this morning that everyone in Pakistan is looking for some sort of reassurance from the civilian government. But I can't imagine that they would get much reassurance from this statement from Pakistan's Prime Minister Yusuf Jalani. Listen to this.
Certainly, we will react when we will have some strategy, which we have, but the timings would be determined at an appropriate time.
So the timings will be determined at an appropriate time. We will react when we have some strategy. Now, even accounting for the language difficulty there, that seems like they're fumbling, Issam Ahmed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been talking about, for example, people getting very impatient here with a planned military offensive, as you alluded to earlier, in the militant's tribal base in South Waziristan, which they've been talking about since June. And the 28,000 Pakistani troops have been amassed on those borders, and they're pounding the area with aerial strikes and artillery. But at the moment, you know, that we're in a very uncertain period. And something about yesterday's attack, which really underscored that, was the fact that two of the targets in the eastern city of Lahore had been targeted before. That was the building of the Federal Investigation Agency and one of the police stations. So the fact that, I mean, I was speaking to a newspaper editor yesterday, and people here are running out of adjectives. We've called them audacious, brazen, bold, and we're running out of adjectives to describe what they're doing. And as you said as well, you know, the outreach is increasing, and this is very worrying because what we're seeing now as well is, I mean, in the northwest of Pakistan, for example, in Peshawar, they're very much reliant on the suicide bomb tactics, whereas the Punjab side in eastern Pakistan, they're reverting to an older style of tactics known as Fedayeen attacks, which involve fighting to the death, which is favored by certain Islamic groups according to their ideology. It's better than blowing yourself up with a bomb. And by employing this tactic, they're able to prolong the agony by taking hostages, by having a 3-hour, 4-hour standoff with police until they eventually run out of ammunition and have to kill themselves or get killed.
And that's my question, Issam, is that although these are coordinated attacks and clearly determined, some of the things that we're hearing from analysts is that they're not actually sophisticated. In other words, it's not required a lot of weaponry to put some bombs into a truck and run them into a military convoy or strap them onto somebody for a suicide attack.
Mm. There is a level of sophistication, for example, in Lahore yesterday when they were able to coordinate those attacks simultaneously. But as you say, you know, what I keep getting from retired sort of security officials and intel people is that if people are determined, they're going to strike.
Right.
And what we need here is a lot more human intelligence, people who can infiltrate these groups and provide that intel to the security forces, because they have the technological intelligence. They can, I mean, we can listen on in on mobile phone calls, read emails, and so on and so forth, but you don't have the resources to do enough of that. And so what's really lacking is the human intel to infiltrate these groups and make sure that the police know about these activities
before they
get anywhere near their targets.
It's the classic challenge of asymmetric warfare playing itself out on the streets of Pakistan. Isam Ahmed, the reporter for the Christian Science Monitor in Islamabad, Pakistan, thanks so much for that. So now in the studio with us is Danielle Muinuddin, author of A Book of Stories, In Other Rooms, Other Wonders. He lives in the south of the Punjab region of Pakistan. And the reason we invited you into the studio is you're on your way back. You own land in that region near Lahore inside Pakistan. What part of the places that was the target of these attacks over the last 2 weeks. It seems to me they're aiming directly at your heart, to try to deny you the sense of reassurance that Pakistan has a future. How are they doing?
Well, look, I mean, I'm in a unique position because I'm, you know, a fairly westernized person living, you know, in a very remote place in part of Pakistan, not actually near Lahore, but way down south. But I think that, you know, that's actually not correct. I think that one of the problems that the Taliban face is that they do not want to alienate the local people, you know, the people of the Punjab, certainly. I mean, if their ultimate strategy is to take control of the place, then there are two parts of their strategy. One is that they're doing these bombings and attacks and so on. But on the other hand, they are ultimately going to have to win hearts and minds.
But are people getting that message that the target is the government, that the target is these military targets?
I think the situation is really confused right now. 6 months ago, I think that there was a lot of sympathy for the Taliban, and I think that I'm seeing a turning of the tide, that people are beginning to feel threatened in their homes, and these guys are losing it.
Well, when you have bombs exploding outside a school and children dying, that can't help the Taliban's case among the people of Pakistan.
But remember that most these attacks are happening in only a few places, in Lahore, in Islamabad, not even in Karachi, which is interesting, not much in Karachi. Most of the people don't live in Lahore or Islamabad or in Peshawar.
But then when do you pack it in? All right, you say you're westernized. You're here in the U.S. Presumably, you could live outside of Pakistan if you were too afraid to remain. What's your threshold?
It's a very good question. I mean, my wife and I have talked about this at great length, and I think that finally, you know, if you know, the first time you get shot at, maybe the second time you get shot at, probably.
Wow, and that's the calculus. That's the actual discussion around the table. So let's find out if our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, has more confidence in the future of Pakistan than you, Muinuddin.
We have confidence in the Pakistani government and military's control over nuclear weapons. The recent attack at Rawalpindi that went right at a military installation is another reminder that the extremists in Pakistan, whatever their title or whatever their affiliation, are increasingly threatening the authority of the state. But we see no evidence that they are going to take over the state.
So, Danielle Muinuddin, do you have the same confidence that Hillary Clinton has?
Look, I can't look into the future, but I think that the tendencies are all in the opposite direction. I think that we're seeing that the power of the insurgents and the Taliban is increasing, the power of the state is decreasing, and at some point it has to. And if it gets bad enough, I think that the nuclear weapons will be. There will be a danger that they will fall into the wrong hands.
Is that a widely shared belief among Pakistanis? Because I don't think Americans have that sense.
I don't think so. No, I don't. I mean, I don't think that people see it that way. What people are fearing is that there's going to be an increasing breakdown of order. But there's a confidence in the army, which I think is misplaced.
Really, but that is, everyone's betting on the army in Pakistan.
I think people are, what people think is, yes, you know, things are bad, but ultimately these guys will save us.
Danielle Muinuddin, author of the book of stories, In Other Rooms, Other Wonders, on his way back to his home in the southern Punjab region of Pakistan. He owns and runs a farm there, and as we've heard, has his own personal calculus about when to stay and when to go in Pakistan. Danielle, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.